Pharaoh's hardening heart. I've shared with you on many occasions that God is not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would have to repent. So God has a very clear mind, and his mind is made up. He's not making up his mind. Because a lot of times when we are making up our minds, we make the mistake of thinking it's made and it's not made. One of the things, you can think you've made the bed and you won't have any bad results of that, but if you think you thought something, that could have some severe consequences, or you think you've done something. God doesn't have to worry about that. But also, we introduced the idea last week that God is a God of order. You know, he loves people, but he's obsessed with order. And he does everything in order. So when it looks like everything is all messed up and you can't make sense of stuff, just remember, God is a God of order. It may be confusion to you in your infinite or your finite mind, but it is not disorderly for God in his infinite wisdom. He has strategically and tactically pursued a course of dealing with Egypt for its great sin. The sin of oppressing God's people. Do you know it's a sin to oppress God's people? Mm-hmm. God, because they're God's people, they're not your people. So God has been systematically dealing with them, these plagues, and as a matter of fact, the one that we're in this week should be about plague number, seven? I think it's seven. Good to see Sister Sampson back celebrating anniversaries, you know, looking all healthy and fit. Let's go shoot some hoops. You know, I think I can take you on now, you know. All right. Good to see you back, Nate. We're going to see today how God, we're in the midst of a plague, is still encouraging Pharaoh. And remember the idea of hardening of heart. Really, we said last week, we agreed that this is more of a twisting. Okay? This is a twisting of Pharaoh's heart. Because what it is, what's in Pharaoh's heart needs to always come out. And what's happening now, he wants to do something else, but he has to reveal what he is. So he's in this very deceptive, deluded world. And you know what? When you're in sin, you're living in delusion. You're living in darkness. And so it's a dark moment. Now, at the moment, what's happening here, so you guys can hear it, this particular plague here, we moved from the blood last week of the Nile. Very systematic, attacking the thing that the Egyptians revered the most, this now. And now we're affecting the livestock and people. And what we've seen up to this point in today's lesson is that the hail has come and beat up, tore up a lot of stuff to include people. But the strange thing, none of the Israelites were affected. Y'all don't hear me. As a matter of fact, it's hailing. Hail big enough, strong enough, violent enough, Terry, to kill livestock and people. But yet, Israel is not affected. I was sitting at a football game on Friday night. I'm weary. I'm cold. And right before I left home, Sister Sylvia, I grabbed a blanket and just to blanket out, because I when I stepped in the garage, I realized, you know, hey, a little bit of clothes I got on there, it's going to go, because I don't like cold weather. I don't like, that's why I live in South Texas. You know, but grabbed a blanket. And all of a sudden, Donovan, I was sitting there in the game. Yeah, I'm not interested in high school football. I guess I'm not a true Texan. But, you know, it was cold. And I was sitting on the blanket because I was trying to protect that other part of my anatomy. In anticipation of the cold, I had forgotten about stadium seats. But, you know, it's been 20-some-odd years since I had to go to a high school football game. But anyway, I took that blanket and I put it around me because a chill went up. And when I put that blanket around me, it was like, it was warm. I was all right. I kicked back. I got into the game. I touched that name. And I happened to glance down, Sir Smith, and it was a resurrection blanket that, I don't know, they were given to us years ago. Maybe it was the deacon's wives or something. Could have been, because I didn't remember the blanket, and I didn't even realize that was a blanket. On it was the Psalms. It says, God is my covering. Well, y'all don't understand what I have to go through to get these lessons. You know, see, everybody around me now is shivering, but God is my covering. All livestock, agricultural products are being beat up, tore up, but Israel is being protected. And y'all heard about it, right? Some of you may have been there to even witness it. But I want to show you something this morning about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart and why that title really does. Really, there are some lessons to be learned here this morning. There's some key features in this text today that will show us something. Let's see. We're going to start with verse 27. That's not 25. That's 27. Let's go with 27. The printed text.
Pharaoh listened and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Let the Lord is righteous and I am
mindful of our. When you're living in dark times and when you are coming up against the forces of God, it's a lot of pressure put on you. And pressure can be a dangerous thing. As a matter of fact, pressure can make water run uphill. Pressure. Oh, when you get in pressure, you got to be in your right mind when you are under pressure, and that's hard to do. Pharaoh is getting inundated with hell. He says, this hell got to stop. Moses, come here. I have a confession to make. Y'all didn't get it. I'm going to confess. This confession, everybody as they read it, you know, the theologians, the religious leaders of yesterday and today, they get excited when they see this particular verse in the Bible, because Pharaoh does what every sinner needs to do. He needs to confess sin. But many have just confessed sin. Oh, yeah. I think I hear it. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. And I and my people are wicked. Now, let me tell you something. We're all at that point. We've all been at that point one time. That's where we were. That's the confession that we had to make. But along with confession, there must be some repentance. And the repentance starts before the confession. And I'm going to show you. See, repentance is simply stop going in the direction you're going. That's the action you got to take. Don't proceed. And to repent fully is to turn around, not 360. All right, oh, y'all got it. Boy, these geometry tools are too tough. Do a 180 and go the other way and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I've sinned. I've come short of the glory. I am not right, but God, you are right. You're righteous above everything. Oh, man, we should be excited. If we didn't know the rest of the story, here is a man that's, I mean, he's on his way to redemption. He's going to be instrumental in saving his nation. But that's what we heard and thought. But that's not what Moses heard. Moses calls it just like it is. Read verse 2. You say, Brother Sneed, I thought you said Moses called it like it is. He ain't speaking yet. I wanted Pharaoh to one last chance to really speak the truth. In this era of fake news and everybody, you know, and people don't know what's real and what's not real. Let me tell you something, folks. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of a sound mind. And a lot of this stuff, you can reason it with your mind. But most of it, you must do the same as Moses did in the coming verse. We must always have spiritual discernment. Just because someone comes in and says that God is right and I am wrong and I want to change my ways, don't put them in the pulpit. Don't put them over the Sunday school class. You don't have them teaching your young babes just because they had a confession. You must use spiritual discernment, Buzz, to determine whether someone is confessing or confessing. In other words, if someone is saying one thing, see, he wants to come out and just say, I don't care what I've seen so far, I don't care what I'm heard. But he does the way many Christians do in the day. Don't be too hard on Pharaoh. Because, yeah, you're saved, but you play the same kind of con games. God, if you just get me out of this situation. I'm in the Bible here. It says, look here, go, wait a minute. If you tell God, look here, come in, I need you to intercede on my behalf and tell God that if he would just stop this hell, we'll change out. I'll let you people go. He knew it was a lie. He knew it was a lie when he was telling it. The truth can't come in him. But he wants to lie. But when you're being beat up by the catastrophe that's going on around you, you're subject to say anything. Amen. Even you Christians. And I'm going to tell you how you do it. You say, well, wait a minute. I've admitted my sin, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and he saved me and all that. And you know what? Since then, you've sinned. And then you got caught in another sin since you've been saved. And you told, Lord, if you just get me out of this, if you clear my name, if you don't let it catastrophe, you don't let it affect my ministry, my work, my reputation in the church, I will never do it again. I will let this sin go. if you just do it. And God knows your heart. He knows it's not a confession. He knows it's a confession. All you're doing is saying something to get out of the predicament that you're in right now. And folk, we're not to live that way. We're not to be furrows. We're not, our heart shouldn't be. But see, what's happening is, God knows. God knows. He ain't hardening it. He's just twisting it. He's letting it all come out. Isn't it amazing how some folk, and don't ascribe this to anybody, use it on it, you can put anybody on it you want to. People, it would make a lot of difference if they said something else. But they always wind up saying the thing that's going to get them in more trouble. We got about like that?
Yeah.
Oh wait. They want it. It's in their heart. But you know what? I tell you what. God is twisted. He's not going to let them say. The reason why there's so much vitriol in the land, in America today, in the world today, is because people want to say one thing. You know, they want to come off all nice. It would be nice to come off all nice, but they can't because God is twisting it. It's all coming out. It's revealing what's in that heart. You watch. Next verse. Watch this.
And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands to the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, and thou mayest know how perfect.
After looking at this confession, this con job, whenever we hear a con, we ought to make a profession. Whenever you hear, we have to use spiritual discernment to know when people getting fooled all the time, folks. I mean, whether it's by a politician, a preacher, the local city councilman, the garbage man, you know, who ain't picking up them people's trash out there at UTSA. I don't understand that. With the city, I don't understand that. But hey, I don't want to get them first. But when you see a con, you ought to profess something. And in this particular verse right here, Moses does just that. He says, wait a minute, let me tell you one thing. You're right, you're a sinner. Yeah, you're right. God is righteous. But he says, Pharaoh, I know where you're going. And let me just remind you of one thing. The earth is the Lord's. God's got this thing. He said, personally, wait a minute. What's that got to do with his confession? See, Pharaoh still thinks he's in charge. He thinks that he can say anything and get his way, and that way he can do anything he wants to do. But Moses, see, when you see this, when you see folk, you know, just lying to be lying, but Moses didn't even ask for this lie. That's just lying to be lying. He's just trying to get out of something. And you know, hey, you know, Malcolm said, by any means necessary, you know, I mean, this hell is coming down, Tracy. I mean, it's killing folk. It's killing livestock. And Moses says, I see where you come from. You made a confession earlier that you know not the Lord. You still don't know God. Because if you knew God, you would know that God is in charge of this. The earth is the Lord's. Matter of fact, and David backs him up over there in the Psalms where he says, earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that are in. In other words, God is in charge. He's sovereign over everything. He's in charge of everybody. He's not only just in charge of all the earth, he's in charge of everybody that's on the earth. So he makes a profession, Joe, of possession. See, you think you own this thing. You think you're in control of this, Pharaoh, but that's not. And no lie, no duplicity, is going to fool God. And you know how Moses knew? He couldn't even fool Moses. Moses didn't say, God said this. Moses said, I see this lie. I saw you when you were coming. We got to stop letting folk, even folk in the church, con us. We got to tell it like it is. You can't say you love the Lord and you want to give your life to Christ and you want to submit your hand under submit your life to the mighty hand of God and then come and live and say and do whatever you want to do. And nobody say anything? You want to come and rule and run roughshod over God's people? Whenever you see that, you out there, you ought to say, the earth is the Lord. Amen. This is God's house. Amen. This is God's church. Amen. And the last time I checked, God ain't died and may put you in charge of it. So let me remind you, Pharaoh, that I recognize your fashion as a con job. You ain't nothing but a con artist. You're trying to beat something out of God. You're trying to take something from God that's God. Let me remind you, God owns all of this. And if he's in charge of this, who am I to go tell him to stop something? See, y'all didn't get it. Because remember, we on plague number 7 now. It was just, 2 plagues ago, that on every plague, sir, they're magicians. They duplicated it. But all of a sudden, they say, we can't do this one. We can't even duplicate it. Before, they could duplicate it, but they couldn't stop it. In other words, they could produce the blood, but they couldn't stop the blood. And the frogs, but they couldn't stop the frogs. And now it's hailing out there, and they're saying, this is another one, boss. We can't do nothing about this. We can't even duplicate it. Because the earth is the Lord's. Y'all, that's a very powerful scripture right there. Because see, when people are conning us, we got to remind them whose you are. See, because what they're trying to do, when people tell you a lie in church, they're trying to take something from you. They're on a hustle. They think you're stupid. That's an insult to your intellect. That you know you're not right. And you don't come up in here knowing that you got nothing but wrong in your heart. But you're going to say one thing and then do something else. So Moses says, no, I'm going to make a profession right now. I'm going to declare and decree you're a con artist. And cons can only make confessions, and they are not to be believed. Look at verse 30. But
as to thee, my servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God.
See, there's another profession there that Moses is making. He says, you don't get it yet, because you don't fear the Lord. Yeah, you're right back where. So, in other words, he not only makes a profession of possession, what God's on, he makes a profession of Pharaoh's position. Y'all, man, I tell you, I enjoy this. Because what he's saying, you're right back where you've always been. You don't know God. You don't fear the Lord. And that makes you stupid. You tried to deceive me. And see, in order for you to really dupe folk, you have to be smarter than them. And what Moses is saying here, you're not smart at all, because you don't fear God. See, and that's straight out of the Word of God, not yet written. Matter of fact, Moses gave David the idea. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
You may think you're smart, but you're not smart. You are not right. So I'm telling you what your position is. And that is, you are unrighteous yet. you are truly unrighteous and unrepentant. And you have to call it just like it is before you can help somebody. Bringing folk in, give them this pablum, what I call gospel light, is not going to help them at all. You got to give them the truth, folk. You got to tell them what they are and what they are not. But if they just know who God is, they know what they are not. Amen. And they will fear God. Yes. That's what you've got people to get. Stop letting them look in their own personal mirrors. You know, the ladies' compacts. Do y'all even care those anymore?
Yes.
Oh, I ain't seen one. So. Okay. Guess the vanity doesn't stop, Mo. Yeah. But the question always is, every time you pull out that compact, God asks the question, do you see what I see? See, God sees you for who you are. And we need to have a spiritual discernment to see what people are rather than what they present themselves to be. Oh, Moses, I tell you, so we have this con job. And then we see, we need that. It's pretty much like every deacon in this church will tell you. We have some masterful con artists, you know, that are in the membership here. But what they don't realize, we have some redeemed con artists that's evaluating their every move. How you know con a con? Game? Game? Y'all better stop nodding your head at them 44 brothers sitting up there on that chair. Hey. Well, none of them born yesterday. But they were born in the night. The night of hard knocks. The night of who's lying and who's not. They've done everything that can be done. I know for a fact they have. Know it for a fact. You know why? Because Galatians 4 and 4. Galatians 4 and 4 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent his son. In other words, when every sin had been committed that could be committed, God sent his son. So that means there ain't nothing that we can do that ain't already been done. So how you know fool somebody who's been doing what you're doing? Who has done what you're doing? And who may still be doing what you're doing. Why you don't con a con? But notice, Moses immediately had a response to this con job. Say, hey, Pharaoh. No. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of. God owns all of this. And you know what? You haven't learned that because you don't fear the Lord. Therefore, you don't know God. You don't know that he possesses, and you don't know your position. Oh, I guarantee, it's right there, guys. I enjoyed it. We were at verse 30, so then we must be at verse 31. But so far we've seen a confession, con job, and we've seen this profession by Moses. But then, can we learn anything from this? Because if you guys read the lesson and verse 31 and 32, it doesn't even look like it should be there. Oh, I tell you, this is one of the weeks I miss Liz Kendall because I could always go to her for grammar. I'm trying to figure out. It's almost like there should be a parenthetical phrase here, that whole two verses there, paragraph. Because, I what are you saying, Moses? Moses saying, this is how I know what you are. Come with me. Verse 31. So in other words, Moses stops his dissertation and start teaching a lesson. Verse 31. Let's see.
And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was whole.
Huh. The flax and the barley It was beaten down, Donovan. For the barley was in the ear, and the flax was boiled. In other words, it was fully grown, exposed to the elements. Sin, in its greatest capacity, is just out there on its own. Ain't yielded to nothing. Sin just acts on its own. And sin will always be beaten down in the fullest of capacity. And there's some of y'all that aren't fully developed in sin yet. None of us. Just ignore. But here he says, all you gotta look, all the things that were exposed and was raised up and supposed to be hardy, you know, that was bold, is beaten down by God. Read verse 32. They were somehow protected because God is a God of order. Remember, if this wheat and the rye had been destroyed, they would have starved to death. Squeeze a little bit more. You see, some of it has been destroyed, but some of it has been preserved. Because of the grace and mercy of God. There's a whole bunch of folk who done, in some cases, less than you that didn't make it. Some done much more than you didn't make it. But the issue is, through God's grace and mercy, we are yet still here. See, he tied that. God owns everything. He possesses everything. And he decides who gets grace and mercy. You don't decide it, but do you think you could change God's mind about grace and mercy? God is already knows. But he says, in your sin, you ought to be humble. Like the wheat and the rye. Vulnerable. Not out there haughty. Oh, Moses is teaching a lesson here. And you know what? Pharaoh is picking up on it. Because when he connects what has happened already, how God has systematically sent these plagues, and it seems to be attacking everything. It keeps on increasing. Keeps on increasing. God's doing it in his way. God's in control. God's not going to let you determine. Okay. Sister Ross, you said Buzz did what? Oh, okay. We'll take your recommendation. No, God's got this. God says he'll deal with Buzz. See, that means that you don't have to go out and try to deal with things on your own. It was one of the sessions yesterday. They dealt with that. Matter of fact, in my session, that's right, with Dr. Brock. There are certain things, you just leave it up to God. You leave it alone. You can do it, but you all not do it. Because what you're doing is you're deceiving. You're making people think that you can do something that you can't do. You think that you can tell a lie and save your people and your crops. And you cannot do it. You know why, Pharaoh? You have not yielded your life to God. And you can't because you don't know him. You don't fear him. You can't because you're still lying. You're still deluded. You're still making confessions. Look at verse 33. I'm confused. I thought you couldn't change God's mind. It looks like Moses, he called him a con artist, but now he's going to go out and do what he wanted him to do. Stop the hail and the rain and the thundering. In other words, get grace and mercy. See, Pharaoh just gave the lesson to, Moses just gave the lesson to Pharaoh, but you got to live the lesson yourself. Because Moses could have said, I know he lied. Ain't no need of me fooling with this. I'm just going to let it hell. But he would have been disobedient because God already told him, this is what I want you to do. In other words, there are many times when you're in ministry, deacons, and you know they lying. They know it, Sister Elba, they know it. Before you get ready to write the check, you know it. But it ain't for you. Through prayer, God has told you what to do. You tell them what it is, and matter of fact, you under no obligation to give up nothing of God without giving a lesson, without saying, now let me tell you one thing. Bad choices brought about these circumstances. Your poor decisions got you into this destiny. Now, I know they were poor choices. I know they were a bad decision. But God dispenses grace and mercy. Because one day you were in the same deal. What many of you didn't care nothing about God. Sunday morning was a time for Bloody Marys and aspirin and Alka-Seltzer. Come on, y'all, come. See, I said, yeah, they don't. Yeah, y'all can just look. You know, they ain't fooling me. See, I told you, I been out there. Never had that issue, but I know people that have. Oh, maybe. Oh, I've had that issue. That's right. See, every time we think that there's something different about us in our experience, God reminds us, you once were there. Amen. You were once, you ain't got up. You know, you ain't lifted your hands in holiness. You haven't let God determine, make choices and decisions for you. You are out there making them on your own. That's why life is so jacked up now. But God has mercy. Now, they've been beat up. There's no healing. Some people have already died. Crops have already been destroyed. But grace and mercy keeps them from being totally annihilated. And Moses says, I got to be the instrument because that's what God told me. He's got to move on as Pharaoh's heart is being twisted. You know he knows what he wants to say. But it's got to come up at him. Oh, it's just twisting. I don't care how eloquent you are. Oh, I confess with my mouth. Oh, and I believe in my heart. See, because you can confess it, but it'll come to light. Because that which is done in the dark will come to the light. That's twisting. That's hardening. Because people will look back later on, Sister Gunn, and you know what they're saying? How'd she get back to where she was? Because that's where she was. And that's where she is. God says, I know what's in your heart. And your life every day is being twisted out of you. You want to do better, but it ain't in your heart. Yeah. The heart. It's wicked, folk. It's desperately wicked. And it needs to be wrung out. It needs to be convinced and converted, the heart. Because it'll make you say things just to get out of your bad predicament. Oh, please, Lord, let me out of this. I'll never do that again. Moses says, okay, I'm stopping the hail. No more crops going to be destroyed. No more livestock killed. No more lives lost. And then there's verse 34. Listen, Maria, I'm glad you're in here, because I don't trust. I just heard something. Did y'all read that verse right? Let me just do a recap before we get out of here. Verse 27. If you just stop the hail, I let the people go. What was your confession? See, Moses was right all along. Moses was really a discerner. Moses caught this thing because with his own mouth, with his own action, rather, with his own eyes, with everything that's him, he saw it was cease. And yet he sinned even more. It didn't say, and yet he sinned. It says that he got even tougher. He was just freakish before. He's just out and out freak now. When he saw, okay, Christians, I think it's in the book of Hebrews. And you know what it says, Mac? It says, now faith is the substance of things not hoped for. It is the evidence. Did we quote that scripture right? Y'all sure? I got some but okay. We got it right. Faith is not what you see. One more time, Robert. Oh, in the book of Romans, it says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Does faith come simply by hearing? Thank you, sis. She says, you better keep on reading, because it says the word of God. Mm-hmm. See, everything you hear won't give you faith. Oh, but folk, let me tell you, everything you see won't give you faith, because the stuff you see is temporal. See, faith is the things not seen, the things that are in eternity. Faith, you got to believe God even though you can't see God. Oh, my goodness. Your sight will mess you up, because let me tell you what happened, Donovan. When he saw, when his eyesight looked around, oh, no more hell. He sinned even more. Instead of, he didn't hear no more thunder. He didn't see no more lightning. He didn't see no more hell. It should have propelled him to believe. And you know what that shows me? All the miracle root workers in the world, they can claim, talk about miracles. Miracles don't save nobody. Because you know what? People can see a miracle and still not believe. This is a lesson here today. Is that we put too much emphasis on the temporal. We put too much emphasis on comfort. Because when he got comfortable, when he could see that there was no destruction, when he could hear that there was no thunder, no pending disaster, he did sin even more. If miracles saved you, if miracles spurred a belief, you know what would happen? When he saw that blood in that river that they couldn't stop, he'd have stopped right then. But I guarantee you, once life started being lost of livestock, and he saw that this man just stretched out a rod and the lightning stopped and the hail stopped, life started living again. I don't know about y'all, but I think I would have been falling on my knees. But instead of falling on his knees, Jim, you know what the word says? He got even more thuggish. He became even more of a reprobate. And you were saying, I just don't see how that, I would have. And I heard you, Deacon Steve, you said that you would have fell on your knee. Let me tell you one thing. Every day you see a miracle. You see God intervening in the lives of folk, doing great things in the lives of folk, and people are still going on sinning. So that won't do it, sis. Faith doesn't come by sight. Faith comes by those things that you don't see. You don't see faith. It says that's what faith is. Because if you see it, your eyes will fool you. Because that's what they probably, they try to make up excuses. Oh, man, you know what? Did you notice? There's no hell going on. Ah, let's get it on. Let's go wilding. Let's celebrate. Break out the wine. Let's go crazy up in here. Because that's what they said. They acted the fool that they were. See, when you're a fool, it'll come out. When you're a fool, you'll act like it. Matter of fact, I learned that long time ago. Mixed company, but that uncle that told me, fool shows his money, and a monkey shows his, y'all fill in blank. Because what's in him will come out. Squeeze. Heartening. Verse 35, so we can go.
And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses.
I'm not going to do right. Oh, did I promise you I was going to do right? Oh, I'm sorry, Moses. Psych. I'm not going to do right. I'm going to continue to do my own thing. You know why? Because first of all, that confession that I made, it was just a con job. And Moses, you saw through it because, you know, but here's the thing. You don't understand. I'm in charge of this. I got this. Those are my people. I ain't letting them go nowhere. I heard you say that the earth is the Lord. Shut up. Oh, yeah, Moses. And, you know, you try to give me this little old weak lesson about the wheat and the rye and all that, you know, being humble. I ain't submitting myself to that. I'm not submitting myself to you or anybody else. Oh, did I tell you? It stopped. So it's just time to get it on. It's time for me to be what I've always been, an unrepentant sinner. There, we have the lesson of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart.